Ladies and gentlemen, please, please, don't leave the house. You must sit here for the next 2 hours and enjoy a spectacular production, a show that has been long awaited, almost 20 years from the Big Band broadcast, as our subject of the evening is the great Mr. Russ Colombo, a gentleman who had such a short career, but yet been remembered for so many years to this day and revered by the industry and inspired so many, and has been a topic on the Big Band broadcast for decades, but we can only just go so far with it. We need more information. The time has come. The show is tonight. The amazing Russ Colombo story. Gosh, we have to thank Hollywood songwriter and Russ Colombo historian Damon Lee for being with us this evening. He's got all the answers, all the knowledge. He will guide us through all of the folklore, myths, the legend, and everything we need to know about the great Mr. Russ Colombo. This is going to be quite a production. But first, before we speak to the great Mr. Damon Lee, let's get you into the Russ Colombo mood. Here he is from a live radio broadcast singing with my eyes wide open. This is WYYR.com. I'm Chris Sonny. This is the Sonata Interview on Just Hear Radio. Enjoy.
And now, here is Russ Colombo to lend his distinctive voice to the song, "With My Eyes Wide Open I'm Dreaming," from the picture Shoot the Works.
Mr. Russ Colombo. Gosh, what a great talent. And here he is, our Russ Colombo historian for the evening, Mr. Damon. Mr. Lee, thank you so much for your time on the show this evening, sir. We really appreciate it.
It's my great pleasure, Chris. Glad to be
Gosh,
with you.
Got to tell you, folks, we've been playing Mr. Russ Colombo records for a long, long time. And we've been speculating. We've only heard so many things. It's always been so interesting to speak about the man. But we can only go so far, so Mr. Lee is with us here today. Before we go any further about Mr. Ruscombe, what was it about Mr. Colombo that got you so inspired, Mr. Lee, to spend so much of your time researching and getting knee-deep into this great man's life?
This is a story that should be the subject of one of the world's greatest movies. Why it hasn't been made into a movie, I can't even imagine, but it hasn't. This story has everything. Russ Colombo was a musical genius, a child prodigy. He was absolutely, astoundingly handsome. He had movie star good looks. He had everything going for him. A great singer, a wonderful musician and instrumentalist accomplished on the violin, on the piano, on the guitar, on the accordion, everything you can imagine. A songwriter, a lyricist, dating all the most beautiful Hollywood starlet, a stars contract from Universal Pictures. He had a new contract for his own radio program on NBC Radio. He had it all. He was only 26 years old, and in an instant, it was all snuffed out at the hands of his best friend.
Oh, my gosh. And about what time frame are we speaking around? About what time? 1930?
Well, yes. Russ was born in 1908, January 14th, and he left this mortal coil on the 2nd of September in 1934. 26 years. He was 26 years and about 7 or 8 months old. He never lived to see his 27th birthday.
So how old was he when he first met his star, his fame?
Well, he came to Los Angeles as a teenager. His family moved here from Northern California. Originally, he was born in Camden, New Jersey, and his family moved back and forth across the river between Camden, New Jersey, and Philadelphia. But he exhibited such great musical talent as a youngster that his family sent him out west to a brother who was living in San Francisco to get him better music lessons, and then the family followed about a year later. So they stayed in the Northern California area in San Francisco and then later in Calistoga during Russ's childhood, and he took lessons from some of the more prominent teachers in San Francisco. Eventually, when he was a high schooler, they moved to Los Angeles, and he did attend Belmont High School here for a while. But he started playing the violin in theaters, accompanying silent movies, when he was still a teenager. He had actually made his professional debut on the violin. I think it was at 12 years old. I mean, he was just an astonishing musician with perfect pitch. He just could do it all.
So he was actually someone in a silent movie theater adding the musical backdrop to these films.
Yes, he did. And I also might add, and we'll get into this a little bit later, after he started playing with the Gus Arnheim Orchestra at the Coconut Grove at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, he was more or less discovered by the great silent film actress, and later she was in talkies too, Pola Negri, who was a co-star of Rudolph Valentino, and she noticed such a tremendous resemblance, physical appearance, between Russ Colombo and the late Rudolph Valentino that she just found him irresistible and took him under her wing. She actually had Russ Colombo as a young man coming to her movie studio to play mood music on the violin for her while she did her scenes.
Wow.
I've never heard of anything like this before, but that's what Pola Negri did. His violin playing was so emotional, it would get her right into the right mood to do her scenes at the movie studio.
Wow, and how old was he at about this time, do you feel?
He was still like a high school age, right? Maybe 17 or 18 years old.
Well, was he slated at one point to play Valentino?
At the end of his life, he was, yes.
Okay, well, hey, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that, yes.
Okay.
That never happened, unfortunately.
Wow, what a sensation that would have been if it did. Gosh.
Yes, what we should start off with is his earliest musicianship here in Los Angeles professionally. As I said, he became part of the great Gus Arnheim Orchestra that was pretty much the house band at the Coconut Grove, the famous night spot in Los Angeles that all the movie stars used to go to. And he played violin, and he also sang as part of a trio, and he did also lead vocals for them as well. So I thought we might start with something from 1928, Back in Your Own Backyard.
Oh, something I think Mr. Jolson had a hand in, if I believe.
I think he did.
Yep, he wrote that tune, but here it is. The great Mr. Russ Colombo, for starters, something from 1928. Our guest tonight, Damon Lee, Russ Colombo historian, and here is Russ Colombo back in your own backyard. Backyard. I'm so glad you requested to play that. I've never heard it, but now hearing it, I see what you're doing, Mr. Lee. We are going to see how this man's voice progressed. Wow. 1920.
Well, yes, yes, Chris, but not only that, if you noticed right near the end, there was a little violin solo.
It was quite a
distinctive violin sound. That was Russ Colombo playing his Stradivarius.
Wow, all live, too. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but was this man, I heard this, I'm not sure if it's true, you would know, that he's known for doing a lot of his recordings in just one take?
As a matter of fact, in all the research that I've done, I've never read any account of any recording session where Russ Colombo did any more than two takes, and in the overwhelming majority of those sessions, the first take was so perfect, that's the one they used, and the second take was so good that they always held it in reserve. He just came to the studio ready to rock and roll, to use a more modern term, which they didn't use back then, but you know what I mean. He was ready to do business. This man was a consummate professional. He showed up on time, he was prepared, and he just did it.
And I guess through his professionalism, his perfectionist, and everything else about him, he was able to grab a hold of certain situations where others were not able to perform as well as he.
Yes, and not only that, but he had the respect of his fellow musicians, the people that played for him. They loved working for him because not only because of his great professionalism and how he made them sound good by, you know, making himself, you know, perform to that level, but he was all around just a great guy. He was just a good man, a good person. They loved him.
Wow. Wow. And just to be on spot like that all the time, of course, I mean, especially musicians and time being spent in recording sessions, it costs a lot of money, and you don't want to go through 15 takes. I understand some of these people, stars of the time, will show up maybe a little inebriated or will always show up late or don't show up at all. He was not that type of a guy.
We don't want to mention the names of any other so-called crooners, do we? But
no,
that's
we
true. That's right. That's right. There was other people who had their indispositions, but Russ never had that, and he never had an attitude. He was always cheerful. He was always low-key. Men loved him. Women loved him. Everybody loved the guy.
Wow.
This is the tragedy of the story. I mean, he was like one of the good guys. Is it true that only the good die young? Well,
okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
here's that situation. Wow. I mean, I'm looking here at a list. Any other records you'd like to pop on right now?
Well, if we could go on with a little bit more of the Arnheim era. There's a great little song called "Glad Ragdoll" from 1929. If you have that queued up
one
on
year
your
later,
table.
One year later, he recorded "Glad Ragdoll." Got it right here, sir. And let's give it a listen here, WYYR.com. Damon Lee sitting in with us tonight for the great and amazing Russ Colombo story. He is our historian for the evening, and here is Mr. Russ Colombo, Gus Arnheim, and his orchestra with Glad Rag Doll. Thank you. 1929 memories, Gus Arnheim and his orchestra at the helm, the great Mr. Russ Colombo at our helm this evening. Damon Lee, our Russ Colombo historian. A little observation I just made here. 1929, about the year when Just a Vagabond Lover came out, Rudy Valley, saw a movie of his earlier today. This is what reminded me of this. Here, it's that type of a sound, but as you're picking out the records here, Mr. Lee, as we go along in years, we'll hear how Russ Colombo's voice continually progressed, whereas, I don't know, I think Mr. Rudy Valley, as great of an entertainer he was, his voice, I just think he was somebody who was in the right place at the right time. Nothing really progressed after that, with the megaphone kind of gimmicky. What are your feelings on that?
Well, Mr. Valley, yeah, he had a certain personal charm, and people liked him, and he was a very entertaining gentleman. But you're right that you know, after this whole crooning, and of course Russ Colombo didn't like the term crooner, but after this whole crooning thing got going, it was really Russ Colombo and Bing Crosby who dominated, and after a while, Rudy Valley sort of fell by the wayside.
But, well, like they say, a cream always rises to the top, and that's what happened here.
Well, it does. And so then, you know, shortly thereafter, around 1930, he was still with Gus Arnheim, and this was at the Coconut Grove, as I said, and all these movie stars and starlets would come in. And, of course, you know, Russ always had an eye for the ladies, but he was a gentleman. He only romanced one lady at a time, unlike many of the celebrities and athletes and whatnot that we hear about these days. So he was a gentleman about it, but he fell in love with a beautiful actress named Miss Sally Blaine, the sister of the great famous star Loretta Young.
Any relation to Vivian Blaine at all?
No, I don't believe she was related to Vivian Blaine, no.
Okay.
She was related to Loretta Young. They were sisters.
And they
had a nice little romance going, and I guess that Russ must have felt that they made a peach of a pair, because he recorded a song with the Gus Arnheim Orchestra called "A Peach of a Pair," and I thought that would be our last, you know, selection for the Arnheim era.
So this peach of a pair recording has to do with this relationship in some way.
Well, I'm not so sure, but maybe it did.
Well, let's give it a listen. I can't wait to hear it on WYYR, Peace of a Pair, with our guest, Damon Lee, this evening.
Thank you.
it is. P.T. Prepared, Gus Arnheim and his orchestra. Our subject this evening, the great Mr. Russ Colombo, sitting in. Our Russ Colombo historian, Damon Lee, with us. Again, thank you so much for spending this time with us this evening on WYYR's Sunday Night Interview, Mr. Damon Lee. Thanks again, sir.
Oh, well, I'm having a great time. So now we've come to the end of the Arnheim era. Now, Russ Colombo is going to strike out on his own, and he hooks up with a gentleman named Con Conrad, a songwriter, music publisher, and a general publicity type guy who sees the potential stardom in Russ and kind of takes him under his wing, and they decide to go to New York to seek their fortune, and they take the train together, and along the way, they decide to compose some new songs for Russ and to change his style from this 1920s sort of bebop stuff that they were doing with Back in Your Own Backyard and the things that we just listened to, and to become a much more serious and romantic singer and to slow down the tempo. And along the way on the train, they decide to write a theme song for Russ, and it's called You Call It Madness, But I Call It Love.
Hmm. Wow. Can we hear it? Can we
Let's
play right now?
Okay. Absolutely.
Here it is on WYYR. Thank you, Mr. Lee.
I can't forget the night I met you. That's all I'm dreaming of. And you call it madness. Ah, but I call it love. You made a promise to be faithful by all the stars above, and you call it madness. Ah, but I call it love. I keep repeating, my heart is beating for you constantly. You're all I'm needing, and so I'm pleading, please come back to me. You made a plaything out of romance. What do you know of love? And you call it madness. Ah, but I call it love. At first a slight suggestion that grew to haunt my mind was the eternal question, true love is hard to find. And then the day I found my love I had to share, I built my dreams around. Somehow you made me care. And you called it madness. Ah, but I call it love. And you called it madness. Ah, but I call love. I keep repeating, my heart is beating for you constantly. You're all I'm needing, and so I'm pleading, please come back to me. You made a plaything out of romance. What do you know of love? And you call it madness. call it love.
Wow, certainly I would feel that's when he finally came into his own. And what I find most astonishing, Mr. Lee, is that one would, well, could never tell that this is a gentleman in his early 20s.
Oh, yes, he was 23.
Wow, and 1931 that was recorded. So
that was 1931, and you can hear the difference, the transition that he had made in that short time from just the year before in Peach of a Pear to You Call It Madness, But I Call It Love. And then he started doing the ba-ba-ba-boo, you know, what they call crooning. And I'm not so sure that Russ actually invented it, but he perfected it to a high art. And I think the thing that made him so good at it is because when he did make those sensuous sounds, he pretty much was following what he would be playing on the violin, only he was playing it with his voice instead. Mm-hmm. And it's just irresistible, and especially to the ladies.
Of course. And what I find very interesting myself was listening to so many recordings of this particular time, 1930, 31, 32, the recording technology at that time was just so and so. But to have the quality, the bass richness of this man's voice come through like that, there are very rare records where you have a voice come through like that at this particular time.
Well, what you're talking about in terms of technology, there was no such thing as multi-tracking, as overdubbing. This was all recorded live in a studio with the entire orchestra and the singer all performing live and into one microphone. Mm-hmm. And it's astonishing that this man and these musicians that backed him achieved that level of musicianship and of recording quality, considering the low technology that they had to work with.
Yeah, more times than not, you receive more than not a tinny sort of a sound, but I'm listening to this recording right now. His voice overcame all of that, and just amazing.
Yes, it did. Wow. Well, so as I was saying, now he and Con Conrad took off for New York, and he left a beautiful Miss Sally Blaine behind in Hollywood because she was obligated to stay here in town because of her movie contract. And I think probably Russ felt a little bit guilty. So maybe we could hear Guilty from 1931.
Hey, that's a great, great idea. We'll play for you right now here on the Big Band Broadcast, the great Mr. Russ Columbo with a tune called Guilty. And I can't wait to hear this one, as well as all the audiences right here on WYYR.com.
Is it a sin? Is it a crime? Loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty, guilty of loving you. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty, guilty of loving you. You've decided that our love is wrong and think that we should part. It seems as though I have loved you so long, you'll always be in my heart. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty, guilty of loving you. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of dreaming of you. What can I do? What can I say? After I've taken the blame, you say you're through, you'll go your way, but I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, loving you dear like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of loving you.
Boy, oh boy, yes, those voice inflections, he certainly did bring that to a higher art form and certainly a signature tune, a signature sound of the great Mr. Russ Colombo, Guilty. And here is Mr. Damon Lee, our Russ Colombo historian this evening at WYYR.com, having a great time going through these recordings. I have not personally heard many of these, and I really appreciate your service getting them over to the station here, Mr. Lee, because they are now part of the archives, and they'll always be part of the archives, and certainly they will be treasured forever. I appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome. Russ Colombo is someone who should be shared with the world, and I hope that there'll be a resurgence appreciation for this great, great artist. You know, back in the day when Russ Colombo was an active musician, songwriters were songwriters, and they wrote songs. And musicians were musicians, and they played music, and singers sang, and they all did their individual thing. Russ did it all. He led a band. He wrote the music. He wrote lyrics. He was the lead singer. He played a lead instrument. He did it all. This is in the days when nobody else did it all. And he inspired other people, you know, later to come. One of the great examples of the 40s was Vaughn Monroe, who did, you know, pretty much the same thing. You know, he mm-hmm. played trumpet. He sang incredibly well, led the band. He did a lot of the same things. And I'm sure he was mightily inspired by Russ Colombo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, Russ considered us all. He was a fellow human being, and I think he considered the human condition, and he thought about it, and he said, you know, once in a while, every one of us is a prisoner of love. And in 1931, he wrote what I think is his signature song. You call it Madness, but I call it Love, was his radio theme song. But his truly signature song, to me, is Prisoner of Love. Maybe we could hear that, Chris.
And here it is right now, folks. Russ Colombo, Prisoner of Love, here on WYYR.com.
Alone tonight, tonight you'll find me too weak to break the chains that bind me. I need no shackles remind me, I'm just a prisoner of love. For one command I stand and wait now, from one who's master of my fate now. I can't escape, for it's too late now. I'm just a prisoner of love. What's the good of my caring if someone is sharing those arms with me? Although she has another, I can't have another, for I'm not free. She's in my dreams, awake or sleeping. Upon my knees to her I'm creeping. My very life is in her keeping. I'm just a prisoner of love. I'm just a prisoner of love. The good of my caring, if someone is sharing those arms with me. Although she has another, I can't have another, for I'm not free. She's in my dreams, awake or sleeping. Upon my knees to her I'm creeping. My very life is in her keeping. I'm just a prisoner of love.
Yes, I must say that's truly, yeah, you are correct. That really would have to be his signature tune. Aside from You Call It Man as being his radio sign-off and so forth, that truly is a gem. A gem. We're here with Mr. Damon Lee, our Russ Colombo historian here, WYVR.com, yes, your radio, and we are going through the amazing life, unfortunately, a short one at that, of the great Mr. Russ Colombo, and we just finished listening to You, Our Prison of Love, and gosh, what a great recording. Now, what year was that, sir?
Recorded in 1948 or 47 or 48 by Perry Como, and he took it to number one 14 years after Russ's passing.
Oh, wow.
And the song continues to live on. It was featured prominently in the 1980 film Raging Bull, directed by Martin Scorsese. It's been featured on television shows like The Sopranos. I mean, this song will live forever. The sad part about all this is just from that one song, which Russ wrote the music for, and the lyrics were written by a man named Leo Robin, a great lyricist of the day. Russ Colombo does not have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and in my mind, just this song should be enough to qualify him for that. But
oh my God! So not just the song, but all of his, I mean, the movies. I mean, if you walk, well, you live there. I mean, Studio City. I mean, how many times have you walked up and down the Hollywood Walk of Fame? I mean,
many
you see the stars and all that. Many times. And I'm sure you've mumbled to yourself in the back of your mind, now why is this name here, and why is
that
right. name here? It's some names you
right.
may not even remember.
People that I've never heard of. You're right, but. You know, that's the way it is. I mean, hey, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to rectify that situation. But anyway, moving on with the life of Russ Colombo when he got to New York.
I hate to cut in. I was so transfixed by that recording.
Yes.
When I had asked you when was that recorded, I have to say, I did not put the mic on. I missed just when you said it was 1931. So that was my fault.
No problem, actually.
Because the record really got me going there, and I just was off somewhere else. Wow.
Actually, to be precise, it was recorded on October 9th, 1931, and the orchestra leader was the great Nate Shilkret, who did a lot of the orchestration and conducting for Russ in 1931, and they were in early 1932 as well.
Well, let me ask you. You mentioned he doesn't have a star out there. Are there any proceedings? Is there anything that can be done to try to help that happen?
Well, they do award one star posthumously annually. You have to go on to the internet, to the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce. But the thing of it is, it's quite an expensive proposition. I mean, monies have to be raised in excess, I think, of $15,000, I think, for that one little piece of sidewalk. So it's something that, you know, it would have to be a concerted effort by a group of fans to really...
A lot of people. Yeah.
And I hope maybe someday I can get that organized. I have it in the back of my mind. I used to speak about this with my late friend Fred Travellina, and
oh,
we were.
Fred.
Fred has a star. He passed away last June, but we used to talk about Russ Colombo all the time, and we were all, you know, we were both saying, well, we have to get him a star. So hopefully it'll come to pass.
Well, we should hope that to happen. Fred Travellina, certainly deserving of that star. What a great talent. I've seen him many times. What a tremendous performer that man was. And what a loss as well.
Well, and as great of a performer as he was an even better human being. Take it from one who knew him well. A beautiful, beautiful soul. But anyway, going on to, he's in New York now. And Con Conrad is doing his con job, and his first name kind of fit him well. he even had the reporters believing that Russ Colombo was having an affair with Greta Garbo at one point, which he didn't. But he did meet a beautiful, beautiful young starlet, a Miss Louisiana from New Orleans named Dorothy Dell. And at the time, she was in New York starring in the Ziegfeld Follies in 1931. And they fell madly in love. And so this is about the time when he recorded what eventually would become Bing Crosby's signature song, but Russ Colombo recorded it first, 5 days before Bing did. And it's
5 days.
5 days before Bing did, and it's called Where the Blue of the Night Meets the Gold of the Day.
Well, you know what? And what year was this again?
1931 in November.
Can I make a request?
Sure.
You know, it's so great when you can hear a record that's 2.5 minutes long and yet it speaks volumes. It's so great when you can just do a double play of a recording. We've done this a long time ago on the Big Band broadcast. Not by making any comments, not by doing anything except playing two records back to back. I think we both made a comment about 1931 was the technology of recording was so still
primitive.
Back in the day. Primitive, great words, what I was looking for. And a voice like Russ's was able to break through these barriers and have that great tone come out. Others couldn't do that, but you mentioned he recorded this 5 days before Bing Crosby, 5 days later after Russ recorded of Bing recorded. And can we play this back to back? I'd like to play Bing's first and then Russ Colombo's, just so we can hear the difference. It was recorded almost at the exact same time, and we can just hear how they both were at this particular time. And it might help us try to think where this man may have been 30 years later.
If Russ's version was recorded in New York with Nate Shilkret. And Bing's version was recorded, I believe, at the Brunswick Records Studios, recording studios here in Los Angeles.
Okay. So you might like to go to back-to-back, Where the Blue of the Night Meets the Gold of the Day, first Bing, and then, of course, Mr. Russ Colombo. And I feel this is a startling, very startling difference. And not only in the recording, well, so they had the same recording technology, but I don't know how they are such different sound qualities. I just don't know why that is. But, well, here they certainly were both hits. And would you mind if you play them both?
A Sweet Mystery of Life. Go for it.
Okay. Here it is on WYYR.com. It's the Russ Colombo story with our Russ Colombo historian, Mr. Damon Lee. And we're going to do a Where the Blue of the Night Meets the Gold of the Day double play. First up, Bing Crosby. Then our subject, the great Mr. Russ Colombo. I'm Chris Ponte. This is WYYR.com. Here's Bing.
Why must I live in dreams of the days I used to know? Why can't I find real peace of mind and go back to the long ago, where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day. Someone waits for me, and the gold of her hair crowns the blue of her eyes like a halo tenderly. If only I could see her, oh, how happy I would be, where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day. Someone waits for me.
Colombo, recorded just 5 days prior with Where the Blue of the Night Meets the Gold of the Day.
Oh, the night, meet the gold of the day. Someone waits for me.
Wow. When did you ever get a Where the Blue of the Night double play, especially back-to-back? How was Kenya compare, except to have Bings and Russes together? And honestly, anybody listening, it's my own opinion. I really don't think there is any comparison at all in a lot of aspects. Number one, somehow his voice broke through that tinny sound. Number two, where Bing was whistling, Russ was singing, forming his own style. Nothing gimmicky about Russ Colombo. What is your opinion? I mean, have you sat down and listened to the two like that? I'm sure you have. And any thoughts?
Well, you know, to put it succinctly, one singer sang it at you. The other one sang it to you.
Yes, yes.
You know, Russ caressed you with that music. Bing just threw it out there. There is just no comparison. If you were to do what they call like a blind taste test, you know, one of those things, and just ask the average person, listen to these two records. You don't tell them who it is or anything about it, but which voice is the more accomplished, the more mature, the more experienced, the older guy? I'm sure everyone would say, well, the second one, Russ Colombo,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Bing Crosby was actually born in 1903, 5 years before Russ. So he was 28 years old when he recorded his version. Russ was only 23, and Russ had already surpassed him.
Wow. I mean, a 23-year-old, that just does not, you can't imagine that's the voice of a 23-year-old.
it's almost beyond comprehension. It's just so wonderful. His voice, you know what his voice, if you could put it into two words, I would say his voice was sweet and lovely. Hey, that's a great tune you should play.
I know,
that's for a segue, Chris.
Great segue. Good job, Mr. Lee. And here it is, Russ Colombo with Sweet and Lovely.
Sweeter than the roses in May, sweet and lovely, heaven must have sent her my way. Skies above me never were as blue as her eyes, and she loves me. Would want a sweeter surprise when she nestles in my arms so tenderly. There's a thrill that words cannot express. In my heart a song of love is taunting me. Melody taunting me. Sweet and lovely, sweeter than the roses in May, and she loves me. There is nothing more I can say. Sweet and lovely, heaven must have sent her my way. Mm-hmm. Sweet and lovely, who would want a sweeter surprise? When she nestles in my arms so tenderly, there's a thrill that words cannot express. In my heart a song of love is haunting me, melody haunting me, sweet and lovely, sweeter than the roses in May. And she loves me, there is nothing more I can say.
Sweet and lovely, the great Mr. Russ Colombo, our subject of the evening, the amazing life of Mr. Russ Colombo, although be it a short one, what an impact the man has made in the industry and in so many lives to this day. And our Russ Colombo historian, Damon Lee, is sitting in with us this evening. We're so grateful for the show finally coming about. It's been a long time coming, and we're doing it tonight. I'm looking at a list of about 17 more Russ Colombo songs. We have less than an hour to go.
We may not get them all in.
Well, you go through any of the lists you wanted, sir, any pertinent stories, and okay. I can't wait. If we can do a couple in a row without any interruptions, whatever you want to do.
Well, you know, I wanted to actually present the next one, All of Me, a very, very popular song recorded by many different artists before us, and they all did it as like an up-tempo, you know, kind of devil-may-care sort of song. Russ turned it into a really heartfelt torch song, practically. He presented this song in a way it had never been presented before, and to me, he owns it now. I mean, this is the definitive version, All of Me.
And here it is. Enjoy.
All of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm no good without you? Take my lips, I want to lose them. Oh, take my arms, I'll never use them. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. How can I go on, dear, without you? You took the part that once was my heart, so why not take all of me? You took my kisses and you took my love. You taught me how to care. Am I to be just the remnant of a one-sided love affair? All you took, I gladly gave. There's nothing left for me to say. Take my arms, I'll never use. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. How can I go on, dear, without you? You took the part that once was my heart. So why not take all of me?
Oh, you are correct. He owns that one, Mr. Lee. I remember Connie Haynes singing it up. Beat Temple. I remember so many people singing All of Me. I've never heard it quite like that before. And you're right, he owns it.
It was almost a plaintive wail. It's just beautiful.
Oh gosh.
So, well, this is about the time, you know, that his little love affair with Dorothy Dell, the Ziegfeld Follies girl, was coming to an end. They kind of were going in different directions, and so I thought that an appropriate song right here would be You Try Somebody Else.
That's a great idea. And I thought of something while listening to All of Me. Mr. Columbo's life was so short, it was rushed, and he had done so many things. You have 16 records here. I'd hate to rush the rest of the show. What do you say we just continue along these lines? And gosh, if it comes down towards the end, we can do part two next week. We don't want to rush this man's history over the next 45 minutes. Next time you're available, do part two. We just don't want to rush anything here. This is so interesting, and I think we have a nice even tempo here, and everything you've put together here is just so fittingly perfect, sir. It really is.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, sure, we could do that. Why not? Russ Columbo, yeah. Part two, coming up. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And... yeah, we don't want to rush it. You know, this is so great. And here is Russ Columbo with You Try Somebody Else. And now you were mentioning this was after a certain affair. And can you repeat that part again?
Well, yes. He dated in New York Dorothy Dell. She was a young girl. She was only 17 or 18 years old. 17 at the time, I believe. She had been Miss New Orleans, Miss Louisiana. She had even competed in a contest and won the title of Miss Universe. Not the same pageant that they have by that name today, but notwithstanding, a true beauty. Went to Hollywood, got a movie contract, ended up in New York doing Ziegfeld Follies. Unfortunately, these star-crossed lovers really were star-crossed lovers because Dorothy Dell, sadly, lost her life in a car crash here in Altadena, just above Pasadena in California, in June of 1934, only 3 months before Russ died.
Oh, my gosh.
She died at the age of 19, and she had stardom at her feet. They had groomed her for a tremendous career. She had just come off starring with Shirley Temple in the movie Little Miss Marker.
Wow, I remember that movie, sure.
Well, the beautiful blonde girl was Dorothy Dell.
Oh, what a shame.
Tremendous shame. And I might add here that after she had been killed in this auto accident, they told Shirley Temple, who was only 6 years old, they had to tell her that Dorothy had died. Shirley was so upset, so disconsolate, that they had to cancel shooting the film that she was working on for the next several days because she just could not get her emotion. She was only a little girl, and she was just she loved Dorothy Dell so much. It was just like she had lost her big sister or whatever, and it was a tremendous blow to Shirley Temple.
Oh, gosh.
Dorothy Dell was a very lovable person, and Russ fell head over heels for her. But as things work out sometimes, they went their separate ways, so You Try Somebody Else.
And here it is.
You try somebody else. I'll try somebody else. And when we do, we'll both be blue and be back together again. You try painting the town I'll try acting the clown. We'll travel fast, but it won't last. We'll be together again. Let's take our fun where we find it. I know deep down in my heart, if I was meant for you, if you were meant for me, nothing can keep us apart. You try somebody else, I'll try somebody else. It won't take long to find we're wrong. We'll be back together again. I'm so glad we had this understanding, because we're both acting strange. We both need a change. Maybe love has made us too demanding. So, sweetheart, I think it best that we put love to the test. And when we do, we'll both be blue and be back together again. We'll travel fast, but it won't last. We'll be together again. Let's take our fun where we find it. I know deep down in my heart, if I was meant for you, if you were meant for me, nothing can keep us apart. So you try somebody else, I'll try somebody else. It won't take long to find we're wrong. We'll be back together again.
What a great recording, Mr. Russ Colombo. Bittersweet, Dorothy Dell connection. And gosh, got to tell you, it's 44 minutes remaining. And like I had mentioned on last night's program, looking at the playlist, looking at the stories, what had to be accomplished in 2 hours, I announced I just cannot see taking callers this evening because I can't even see us finishing what we have to accomplish in this 2 hours, and it looks like there's no way we can without being an injustice to Mr. Colombo. We don't want to rush this. He's been rushed enough in his life. I'm looking at my calendar. I'm very busy. Let me tell you what it was, Damon Lee. He lives in Studio City, and he, we've seen the movies, we've seen everything else, the famous Paramount Pictures sign, you drive your car under it. He's there regularly. There's a lot of work in there. The man's a pro, and he's on call, voiceovers, Hollywood songwriter. And again, we're so glad to have you on the show here tonight, sir. Are you free Sunday, a week from tonight? If not, we can make another. I know it's kind of short call, but we want to do justice to Mr. Colombo.
Well, yes, I'll make myself available. No problem.
Well, thank you, sir. And I know it was short notice. Did not realize this was going to happen this way. But I'm sure you want to do justice for Mr. Colombo as well, and to just blow through the rest of these records, and when there's so many other great stories and things to get to. And maybe tonight will end as a cliffhanger.
actually, we have a lot of other Russ Colombo recordings available to us that are really not even on this playlist schedule for tonight.
Really?
So we could probably add some more on next week's program and expand that out.
Well, that would be the light, sir.
Getting back to, where did we leave off? With Dorothy Dell. So
yes,
that
sir.
Thing kind of fell by the wayside. Now, what I'm going to tell you, you probably won't believe, but when Russ Colombo was in New York and he was attempting to, you know, become famous on the radio, and he got a radio program on NBC, he couldn't find a sponsor. This was in the depths of the Depression. And so NBC actually had him on very late at night on a 15-minute program after midnight on the East Coast. And it was called a sustaining program, which meant there was no sponsor for it. And they weren't even paying him. He would go on the air every night and perform and sing his heart out for nothing. I mean, this was a man who was dedicated to his art.
Every night.
Every night. I mean, eventually they did get a sponsor, and you know, but there was a lot of there were a lot of problems between the Colombo camp and NBC Radio, because the man who was in charge of NBC Radio detested Con Conrad, who was basically Russ's manager at the time, and every time that Conrad would do something that this gentleman, Mr. Royal, John Royal, didn't like, I pretty much blame Russ. And so he took it out on Russ, and they had a hard time in New York, but they managed to keep going. And along the way, Russ fell in love again after Dorothy Dell with a beautiful woman named Hannah Williams. There was only one problem. Ms. Williams was married to someone else at the time, although that was breaking up. So he fell in love notwithstanding, and so we have a few songs that I'd like to play in that era. First one, Call Me Darling, 1931.
Wow, and here it is.
I love you so, and I'm sure you must know that my heart cries for you, only you. Tell me, my dear, what I'm longing to hear. Let my hopes and my wishes come true. Call me darling, call me sweetheart, call me dear. Will me darling, with the words I want to hear. In your dark eyes so smiling, a promise I see. But your two lips won't say you care for me. Oh, my darling, if my daydreams would come true, you would meet me at a secret rendezvous. And I'd find the paradise that lies deep in your heart. Call me darling, call me sweetheart, call me dear. I'd find the paradise that lies deep in your arms. Call me darling, call me sweetheart, call me dear.
Wow, that's pure Russ from the soul. That tune emanates from Mr. Columbo. Wow. Thank you so much for that, Mr. Lee. I've not heard that recording ever until tonight. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, it's beautiful. And Hannah Williams was beautiful, and Russ was quite smitten. You know, Russ, as dedicated as he was to his musicianship, to his singing, to his playing of instruments, to his everything that he did involving music, there was one overriding factor in his life that took precedence above all, and that was amore. He was a true Latin lover, and when he fell in love, he went head over heels, and he went head over heels for Hannah Williams. As I said, the woman was married to another gentleman at the time, but she wanted out, and so did he, so that was quite convenient mutually. And in the day, people used to go to Reno, and they would have to establish residency there for 6 weeks or whatever. And once they did that, then they were eligible to have a dissolution of their marriage. So mm-hmm. Hannah Williams took off from New York and left Russ behind and went to Reno. And while Russ was waiting in New York and doing his thing, he had a lot of time on his hands. So maybe we could play Time on My Hands from 1931.
Time on my hand, you in my arms, nothing but love in view. Then if you fall, once and for all, I'll see my dream come true. Moments to spare for someone you care for. One love affair for two. With time on my hands and you in my arms and love in my heart, all for you. When the day fades away into twilight, the moon is my light of love. In the night I am quite a romancer. I find an answer above to bring me consolation. You're my inspiration. This is my imagination. Moments to spare for someone you care for. One love affair for two. With time on my hands and you in my arms and love in my heart, all for you.
1931 Memories, again, a year where recording industry and technology was in its infancy. And here's something else that I've always pondered this thought. Maybe somebody some time ago told me this, but being in the spotlight, there's only one big spotlight out there. And it has to share itself with so many people. Some people have a little piece of the spotlight for a short period of time. Somebody have a big piece for a big piece of time. And some people have the spotlight their whole life. Some people have a little piece of it, big piece of it, long time, short time, big piece for like a second, remembered, not remembered. We know what history is in music. I know you do, sir, and listeners of the show do. But if Mr. Russ Colombo did not have his tragedy, here are a couple of, I wouldn't say odd questions, but thought-provoking questions that we can only, you know, think about, not really answer, but would Sinatra have been as big as he was? Would Crosby been as big? They would have had to have shared this same spotlight with Colombo. What would have happened? Have you ever had thoughts run across your mind like these, sir?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, and getting back to our friend Fred Travellino, we used to discuss this all the time, and we both kind of agreed, oh, you know, like, Russ would have been bigger than Bing. But the truth of the matter was that although they were rivals, they were friendly rivals, and they got along quite well, I mean, to the point where actually Bing was one of Russ's pallbearers at his funeral. Hmm. There was no animosity there. They were, you know, they were just, you know, jolly good competitors, and you know, and there was enough to go around. As far as Sinatra, Dean Martin, Perry Como, Jerry Vale, Tony Bennett, Johnny Desmond, Vic Damone, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. These men stood on the shoulders of a giant, and the giant's name was Russ Colombo.
Yes, sir. So, back to the question, if he survived, with some of these other names you mentioned, would they still been there? I'm talking the other names there, the later ones, because, of course,
yeah.
You know, Sinatra would have been there. We know Crosby was already there, you know, but they would have had to have shared that spotlight with Colombo, who was already there, and his voice has been evolved even before Crosby's was, obviously. We heard that tonight. What do you think would have happened? I mean, that's a crazy question, of course, a tough question, because crazy questions are tough, but do you think some of these other names may not have even happened because of this? I mean, Sinatra was so big, Crosby was so big, but do you think they would have gotten to the height of where they've been if this man was still around?
That's an unanswerable question.
I know,
it
is,
unknowable.
But it's a thought. It's really just a thought.
It's a thought, and it's an intriguing thought. But, you know, each one of them brought their own basket of goodies to the table. You know, Frank Sinatra, he had a style, and there would have been a market for him, regardless of who was around. Dean Martin, I mean, yes, and he was, and so was Dean Martin. I mean, not only a fine actor, but, I mean, a great singer, and who could sing when the moon hits your eye like a big piece of pie and sell you that? I mean, you know, I don't know if Russ Colombo could have done that. That was Dean Martin, you know. That was his personality and his charm, and it was just, you know, these people, you know, all of them, you know, they're all hard not to love. Because they all brought something wonderful to us.
Yeah.
But I think they were all inspired by Russ Colombo.
Just like every poet is
inspired by William Shakespeare. You know.
It's no question. I always liked the fact you saw Bing Crosby dancing. You know, later on with Sinatra, that's because he inspired them as well. And they welcomed him into their hearts and their movies. I would have loved to see Russ Colombo. He would have been there. He would have been there, you know. And, gosh, it's just a shame. The whole thing is such a shame. It really is.
Well, just prior to his unfortunate demise, Russ had been tapped by Carl Lamely Sr. and Jr. The Lamely family was the founders and owners of Universal Pictures, and they tapped him to be the new huge star of Universal, and especially the face of Universal Musicals, to compete directly with Bing Crosby at Paramount.
Wow.
And he was on his way. I read something, this one report of his death, that an opinion writer in one of the Los Angeles papers wrote, and basically what it says was, Russ Colombo, in a way, was kind of lucky, because all that he had attained in life, he didn't live to see away from him like the rest of us do. He had it all when he died. He didn't lose it, like, you know, whether it's fading beauty or whatever we have that's a treasure at the moment, if we live long enough, we lose it. And then maybe we have regrets about it. Mm-hmm. He didn't live long enough to have those regrets. So
no.
It was an interesting take, but I wish he would have stuck around longer.
Of course.
As
of
you.
Course. As me, as well as so many others out there. He's with Dorothy Dell, you know. Who knows? But
well,
he's
with all of them now. They're all gone. I mean, Hannah Williams is gone. You know, we'll get later on to Carol Lombard. And by the way, I wanted to say that I visited both Russ Colombo and Carol Lombard yesterday. Just yesterday I was at the Great Mausoleum at the Glendale Forest Lawn Memorial Park, and Russ is in the Sanctuary of the Vespers, and I put some flowers on his tomb, told him that what we'd be up to today, so if he was, you know, had nothing better to do, to listen in.
Oh, I got chills. I swear, something just went up. I swear, oh, my gosh.
Oh, and then, believe it or not, the love of his life was Carol Lombard, as you know, and just directly across the alcove, across the hallway, pretty much, in the Sanctuary of, the Blessed Sacrament, ensconced, entombed, encrypted in between Clark Gable and her mother, Elizabeth Peters, is the great Carol Lombard. She's literally within 50 feet of Russ Colombo, so he's
really?
Kind of watching
and
over
that,
her.
And that was that planned or was not planned?
Well, you know, when Carol Lombard was unfortunately killed in a plane crash in 1942, in Las Vegas, she and her mother were coming back from her home state of Indiana, where she had gone. This was only about 4 or 5 weeks after Pearl Harbor, and she had mm-hmm. gone back to her home state of Indiana to help to raise money with selling United States war bonds. To finance the, because we were in the midst of world, you know, just the beginning of World War II, we had just lost our entire Pacific fleet. And so she went back there to raise money, and then when they were coming back to Hollywood, they stopped in Las Vegas to refuel. And unfortunately, in taking off, I don't know if there was too much weight in the plane or whatever, but they crashed into the mountains, and she and her mother died together.
I didn't know her mom. I went to Vegas many times. I've read in little books, a little place to visit, and one was the area where that plane went down. I didn't know that her mom was in the plane as well.
Her mom was in the plane. Her name was Elizabeth K. Peters. And so when that happened, of course, Carol Lombard was Mrs. Clark Gable. She married Clark 2 or 3 years after Russ died. And so what Mr. Gable did was he purchased 3 crypts at the Great Mausoleum of Forest Lawn in Glendale, side-by-side crypts, and he had Carol and her mother buried, but entombed there. And then, of course, in 1960, when he died, he had a heart attack, I think. Then he was entombed next to her for eternity.
Wow.
But only 50 feet away is the love of her life, Russ Colombo. And Russ Colombo was the love of her life, and she even as much as told a reporter once in an interview, and the reporter said, you mean he was the love of your life until you met Mr. Gable? And she just glared at him and said, Russ Colombo is the love of my life.
And you know what? You know what, sir? We won't get into this now. We'll leave this as one of the cliffhangers for next week. But there's something that she did for Russ after his death for his mom until her death in a plane crash. You know, gosh.
That's right. Well, we'll get into that next week. We're still stuck with Hannah Williams, though. So Hannah Williams, this married woman that Russ Colombo is absolutely crazy for, goes to Reno And meanwhile, Russ is sent on a kind of a multi-city tour with an orchestra doing personal appearances, but he calls her in Reno every night, and he talks to her on the telephone. And I'm sure at the end of the conversation, his last words were always, "Good night, sweetheart."
Good night, sweetheart. Sleep will banish sorrow. Tears and parting may make us forlorn, but with the dawn, a new day is born. Good night, sweetheart. Though I'm not beside you, good night, sweetheart. Still my love will guide you. Dreams enfold you, in each one I'll hold you. Good night, sweetheart. Good night. The day is over, and its cares and woes, in peaceful, sweet repose, will fade and die. A dreamy dreamland beckons you and me. How happy life could be if we could dream forever. Good night, sweetheart. Till we meet tomorrow. Good night, sweetheart. Sleep will banish sorrow. And parting may make us forlorn, ah, but with the dawn, a new day is born. Good night, sweetheart, though I'm not beside you. Good night, sweetheart. Still my love will guide you, dreams enfold you, in each one I'll hold you. Good night, sweetheart, good night.
Beautiful stuff here on WYYR.com. Gosh, and tonight a very, very special program, The Amazing Life of the Great Mr. Russ Colombo. It cannot have been done without our Russ Colombo historian, Mr. Damon Lee. And again, once again, thank you so much, sir, because, I mean, this is really a special moment for the Big Band Broadcast, and this show, as mentioned on last night's show and tonight, he has been a topic for so many years, and we can only go so far. We needed to jump over the fence and see what really was going on here until we found you, and thank you again for being here with us, sir. Mr. Damon Lee, Hollywood songwriter and Russ Colombo historian here tonight on WYYR.com. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Well, you know, actually, for the people who are interested in doing a little bit further study on the life of Mr. Colombo, there are several pretty good books that are available on Amazon.com. the best of which I think is called A Prisoner of Love by Tony Toran. And so anyone who would be interested in studying more about his life, I'd recommend that book highly.
Yeah, well, as we do the service for those who spend time with us on the Best of the Sunday Night Interviews on WYYR.com website, whether you're an author or not an author or whatever's going on your website, we'll always have a link to your website, your works, whatever it is, and any of your suggestions. So we will have a, on your approval, sir, a link to that book on the Amazon website, because if you're saying this is a good place for people to learn, then we will certainly do that, sir.
Well, it really was. And, the sad part about that story is that Mr. Tony Toran wrote this incredibly wonderful book of over 450 pages all about Russ Colombo.
Wow.
And,
okay.
And then he died. He didn't live to see... As soon as he finished the book, he died. It was just, what a sad story.
Is that what you found out? Is that what you found
out
from the publisher?
Yeah. Well, I found this out. Yes, I did. Yeah. He passed away.
I remember you were reading the book, and you had contacted me about the book. He was so interested. He tried to contact the author, and you got in contact with the publisher. I didn't go any further than that, and they told you he passed away. Wow.
It was his last great labor of love, so... we send them our blessings. Mr. Toran, you wrote a beautiful book.
Mr. Toran, the link to your book on Amazon will be there forever, just as this interview, part one and part two, and Damon Lee's website as well. And anything else you want to suggest, sir, it'll be there on that page. So where are we going next, Mr. Lee?
Well, we have to wind up the Hannah Williams affair.
Okay.
And so, as I said, poor Russ is out there touring all over the country, Kansas City, Cincinnati, I don't know where. I mean, there's a list of it in the book, but I can't remember. But notwithstanding, every night he would pick up the phone and call up to Reno and talk to Hannah Williams and profess his undying love, and she would profess hers for him and all of that good stuff until the 6 weeks was up, and then she got her divorce. And then informed Russ she was jilting him to marry Jack Dempsey, the former heavyweight champion of the world.
Jeez, honey, Russ, Jack Dempsey. Yeah.
Russ was not laughing. But
no.
being the good sport that he was, he took it all in stride. And I think the most appropriate song to illustrate how he felt at the moment is Just Friends.
Just friends, lovers no more. Just friends, but not like before. To think of what we've been and not to kiss again seems like pretending it isn't the ending. Two friends drifting apart. Two friends and one broken heart. We loved, and we cried. Then suddenly love died. The story ends, and we're just friends. Sweetheart, and we said goodbye. One with a handshake and one with a sigh. We two were sweethearts by a sacred vow. What are we now? What are we now? La 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 la. with them and not to kiss again. Seems we are only pretending it isn't the ending of two friends drifting apart. Two friends, one broken heart. We loved, we laughed, and we cried. Suddenly love dies, the story ends and we're just friends.
The great Mr. Russ Colombo here on WYYR, the Big Band Broadcast, these special Sunday night interviews, very special tonight. The show, very long awaiting. Because we needed to know so much about this magnificent artist. There's no question about it. An American icon, a man who is being saluted this evening for everything. And gosh, got deep pockets. Let's get his star right there. The Hall of Fame. Mr. Damon Lee is with us tonight. We cannot do the show without him. He is our Russ Colombo historian. And gosh, I got to tell you, sir, this is really a blast for not just myself, the listeners, and we're just so honored to have you tonight, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, it's a blast for me, too. Thank you, Chris. I'm having a great time. You know, I just wanted to wrap up the Hannah Williams affair because I know we're running short on time, and you and I have planned also the last 4 minutes is a little sign-off that we have.
Thank you.
So I'd like to just fit one more song in, because when Hannah Williams took off to go back and marry Jack Dempsey, I guess the only thing that Russ could say is, Auf Wiedersehen.
We'll get it record right now, and we'll be back to talk about some startling things. You're just going to have to hold on to your seat for next week. And thank you, sir. Here's Auf Wiedersehen.
Come, let us stroll down lover's lane, once more to sing love's old refrain. Soon we must stand. Auf Wiedersehen, Auf Wiedersehen, my dear. Here in your arms I can't remain, so let me kiss you once again. Soon we must say, Auf Wiedersehen, Auf Wiedersehen, my dear. Your love will cling to me through the lonely days. Each night will bring to me the magic memory of my time. I know my heart won't beat again till the day we meet again. Sweetheart, goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen, Auf Wiedersehen, my dear. My dear, your love will cling to me the lonely daytime. Each night will bring to me the magic memory of nighttime. I know my heart won't beat again until the day we meet again. Sweetheart, goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen, my dear.
Auf Wiedersehen, the great Mr. Russ Colombo. We're running out of time right now, and let's get to the closing of the show. I must say that we've only just started here, folks. I have to say, many feel that the Russ Colombo situation is more intriguing than the JFK situation. We have just touched the tip of the iceberg, and I have to tell you something. Folks, you got to tune in next week to get to the meat of what's going on here. This is an introduction. It's part one. It's the introduction, Mr. Lee. What do you say?
I'll be here.
I can't wait. The Carol Lombard stories, everything else, Russ's mom. Oh, gosh, folks, this is going to be fantastic. And so 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Pacific Coast, 4 p.m., WYBR.com. Be there, be square, as they say. And what have you planned for us to end tonight's show, sir?
Well, we have a sign-off, which I'm sure you're going to get to. I just wanted to say that also next week we have a special treat for the folks. We're going to feature the great Mr. B, Billy Eckstine, singing a song. It was the last song that Russ Colombo ever wrote. It was unpublished until 1950, some 16
really?
Years after his death. And Billy Eckstine recorded it and made a huge hit of it in 1951. It's called I'm Yours to Command, and that'll be on next week's show as well.
Oh, I can't wait. Hey, lead us into the closing, sir. The closing of the tonight's show.
Yes. Okay. Well, no. This is just the typical sign off from Russ Colombo's radio program, and featuring his radio theme. You call it madness, but I call it love. Let's reprise that.
Yes, and I have a sign off here. Also, I'm yours to command.
No. The sign off. Yes.
And here it is, and it ends with the NBC chime. So those chimes will end tonight's show. Those are going out to Russ out there, sir. And we thank you so much, Mr. Colombo, for being there. And thank you, Mr. Lee, for being with us tonight. I appreciate it, sir.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Chris.
Speak to you next week. Thanks.
I can't forget the night I met you. That's all I'm dreaming of. And you call it madness. Ah, but I call it love. You made a promise to be faithful by all the stars above. And you call it madness. Ah, but I call it love. I keep repeating, my heart is beating for you constantly. You're all I'm needing, and so I'm pleading. Please come back to me. You made a plaything out of romance. What do you know of love? And you called it madness. Ah, but I call it love. At first a slight suggestion that grew to haunt my mind was the eternal question, true love is hard to find. And then the day I found you, my love I had to share. I built my dreams around you. Somehow you made me care. And you called it madness. Ah, but I call it love. And you called it madness. Ah, but I call it love. I keep repeating, my heart is beating for you constantly. You're all I'm needing, and so I'm pleading, please come back. You made a plaything out of romance. What do you know of love? And you called it madness. Ah, but I call it love.
Say goodnight to Russ Colombo, who has sent you his program from the NBC studios located in the heart of Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.